Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every Friday night here on KCRW. First of all, I'd like to welcome my parents, Andy and Betsy, who are in town to help celebrate my kid's birthday, which is today. So, Max, if you're listening, if I have turned on the radio for you, Max, happy birthday from Daddy. Max is two today. The other thing to tell you before we get into the business of today's program is the fact that there are some people who are conducting a campaign to try to save the Max Headroom television series that ABC canceled. And I think it's a worthwhile cause. I think it's a pretty good show. And so they have a hotline number. I'll give it to you now and again at the end of the show. So if you don't get it now, don't worry about it. You can get it at the end of the show. The number is in area code 818-377-5000. That's 377-5000. And they'll tell you all the things they want you to do, to the places you have to write letters and various things you can do to help them. And like I say, it's a good cause. I'll give you the number again at the end of the show, which will consist of highlights from a British radio series called Radioactive, which is basically a takeoff on Top 40 radio and various other different types of radio, which you will find out are just as annoying in England as they are over here. They're very similar sorts of things. This could very easily be a takeoff on most American radio as well. Jeffrey Perkins is involved with this. He was, I think, the producer of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy radio series. Very talented man. And the Heebie-Jeebies, whom I've played before on this station, they do savage takeoffs on rock and roll stars and pop singers. They do in this a wonderful, wonderful parody of Simon and Garfunkel. So I will edit together highlights from this record, which is edited together from highlights of their first two series. I don't know what the dates are, but let's see, the record is copyright 1983, so that gives you an idea. So let's get started. Here we have Radioactive from the BBC.
Broadcasting to you locally, wherever you are in the nation, this is Radioactive. Welcome to the Mike Stan Show. My name's
Mike Stan.
And a very special show for you tonight, as you've no doubt heard. But first of all, we have got to go over to Scotland Yard for tonight's police file with Pamela Johnson. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Mike. Police have tonight issued a description of a man known to have been involved in a bank robbery in Croydon last month. He's tall, slim, dark hair, blue eyes, an upturned nose, greying sideboards, a small scar on his left forefinger, an inside leg measurement of 34 inches, and a cap 2-3 from the back on the left-hand lower jaw. His name is Jack Bronson. He lives at number 3 Eastern Way, Guildford, with his wife and two children. Phone number Guildford 58694. Anyone who knows anything about this man or has any knowledge of his whereabouts should have no worries at all, as he was arrested this morning and is now in police custody. Back to you, Mike.
Thanks, Pam. She'll be back at the same time tomorrow night, but right now on Radioactive, it's time for Shipping Forecast with Mike Cody. Every night about this time, we link up with Mike on board our weather ship, or just a few miles out to sea. And, hello, Mike. We understand you're experiencing some pretty turbulent weather out there. Hello, Mike?
Oh, God.
Mike? Well, it looks as if the weather might be causing one or two technical problems, yeah? You know, short circuits, broken cables, that sort of thing. Well, perhaps we'd better just leave Mike just now. Doubt it's just putting the final touches to the shipping forecast. And we'll be back to him very shortly. In the meantime,
it's Lascivia, who works here in Radioactive's shop downstairs in the foyer. Hi, Lascivia. What are some of the bargains on offer down there currently?
Hello, Mike. Well, I'm here to tell you about one or two of the bargains on offer down here in the Radioactive foyer currently.
Yes, what are they?
And let me tell you what they are.
Yes, what are they?
Well, Mike, have we got some bargains for you?
Sorry?
Have we got some bargains for you?
Ah.
Yes, indeed, Mike. That's right. Let me see now. Our most popular, I suppose, is still the Radioactive T-shirt.
And how much are they?
Let me tell you how much they are.
Yes, how much are they?
Good question, Mike. They're just £2.50, however large you may be.
And what sizes do they come in?
And in case you're wondering what sizes they come in, well, we have them in small, medium, large, or extra large.
In case any of you are carrying a little excess baggage.
And the extra large size are for any of those of you carrying a little excess baggage.
Well, thanks very much, Lasivia.
Bye, Mike.
Bye, Lasivia.
Thank you.
Good.
And look ahead to tomorrow night on Radioactive, when, amongst other things, you'll be able to hear how to make a bedside lamp out of just a piece of wire, one light bulb and a lampshade. How you can make a cheese omelette using only 3 eggs, a frying pan and a lump of cheddar. And, of course, there'll be the final set of instructions for all of those of you making a Geiger counter out of 2 milk bottle tops and a toilet roll. That's all on Today in Parliament, tomorrow night at 2 a.m. Radioactive!
And right now we have a dedication here.
Yes, and it goes out to all you youngsters in 14 King Street, and it says, Happy anniversary, 1 year in your new flat.
And it comes from your landlord, and he says that the lease runs out on the 17th, and he'd like you out by the end of the week.
Well, time now, on a lighter note, for Radioactive's Quiz of the Air. Last week we had a special competition for all you men entitled, Who is the Perfect Lover? And a staggering 80% thought it was Judy Huxtable of Cheshire. So that's the correct answer. For those of you who didn't get it, her address is 14 Priory Terrace. It's time once again to play Radioactive Wordplay Jackpot. Very simple. I give you a letter of the alphabet, and you have to give me, beginning with that letter, a record, a joke, a flower, a colour, a capital city, a river, and a category of neurological disorder. So let's start straight away by dialing up Jack of Finchley. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
Hello there, Jack. It's your lucky day. Your chance to take a spin, see if you win, on the Wordplay Jackpot.
Who is that?
It's Mike Flex and Radioactive.
Oh, yeah.
Phoning you up to play Wordplay Jackpot.
Oh, really?
Is there anyone you'd like to say hello to?
Oh, yes.
That's lucky, because you've got a phone, you can ring them up. Well, let's get straight in, £20 to be won. Are you nervous, Jack?
A little, yeah.
A little nervous. Well, let's just keep our fingers crossed for Jack. Right, well, you know the rules.
No.
So let's get straight on with today's letter.
I don't know the rules, actually.
Which is Z, so 15 seconds on the letter Z, starting from now.
Hello? I don't know the rules. Hello, are you there?
I'm not allowed to help you, Jack.
Look, can you tell me what I'm supposed to do?
Got 5 seconds left.
Hello?
2 seconds left.
No, is there someone else I could talk to?
1 second. Oh, dear, bad luck, Jack. Well, anyway, very close. We just failed to make it in time. Do you enjoy playing it anyway?
No.
That's good. Well, that's all we've got time for. On Wordplay Jackpot, which is still to be won after 4 years and now stands at £850,000. Passing to you locally, nationwide. It's time for our soapbox corner, and as usual, we've invited members of the public to phone in and to put their views across on any subject which they feel particularly grieved about. And today we hear first of all from David McGregor. Hello, David.
Aye, well, the thing I feel most strongly about is the police. What the hell do I think they are, eh? Why don't they leave us alone?
Sorry to butt in here, David. Who are we talking about?
The Polish.
The Polish.
No, the Polish.
Oh, the Polish people, yeah.
No, the Polish, the pigs, you can't.
Pigs?
Aye, they're bloody animals.
I'm sorry, are you saying that pigs are animals or Polish people are animals?
It's not the Poles, it's the pigs, for God's sake.
Good, well, that's a fairly controversial viewpoint there. For any Polish farmers who are listening. Patrick Linnell, you are our second caller today. What is your particular grievance?
I'd like to talk about football hooligans, Shirley.
Mike, yes. What do you think ought to be done about them?
I think they ought to be short.
Short? Mm. Do you think they should be smaller?
No, I think they should be short in their legs.
Short in the legs, yes. And how would reducing their height solve the problem?
No, shit them.
Well, quite. But how would reducing their height solve the problem?
You don't seem to understand me, Shirley.
Mike, yes. Good, well, that's an interesting theory, shortening football fans. I don't see it myself, but never mind. And lastly, we have Dorothy Kinsman of Berkshire. Dorothy.
Thank you. Well, my complaint concerns a problem of pits.
Pits? Coal pits?
What? No, pits that people take for walks in public places and let them file the pavements.
File the pavements? I'm sorry? I'm sorry, are we talking about civil servants?
Things making messes all over the Tyne.
The Tyne? Is this in Newcastle?
What?
Good, well, that's food for thought. Dorothy, they're suggesting that we should file pits in Newcastle.
And now...
This is an SOS message for Michael John Ridley. Michael John Ridley, aged 17 years, was last seen leaving his parents' house in Shellgate Road, Coventry, at 6 p.m. on Saturday. He was carrying a tin of glue, half sniffed, and a brown leather wallet belonging to his father. He's 6'4" tall, with a shaved head and a 3-inch knife scar on his right cheek. Michael, your parents are terribly worried. Please ring them and reassure them that you're never going back home.
That was Radioactive's thought for the day.
Radioactive.
This is Radioactive. You're listening to Good Day Sport.
Good Day Sport.
Today we turn our attention to the ancient art of sword fighting, and we are indeed fortunate to have within our number Anna Dapter, herself a keen swordswoman, who is going to demonstrate some of the rudimentary principles.
Thanks very much, Mike. Well, to start the ball rolling, as it were, I'm going to be showing Mike Hunt here one or two tips I picked up in my days at RADA.
I didn't know you went to RADA.
Now, Mike, if you'd like to begin with your sword in the starting position...
When were you at RADA?
Now, this point under the chin is one of the most vulnerable parts of the body, and these are precisely the points one should aim for in sword fighting, but, of course, avoid in stage fighting. Instead, the points one should aim for are the outside of the arm here...
Whoops, steady, Anna.
It's okay, Mike. Just relax. It's all quite safe. And here... on the left arm. Now, obviously, one may want to strike the opponent lower down. But again, one should aim for the outside of the body in the region of the upper thighs, thus...
Oh, caught me fingers.
Now, generally speaking...
Can you stop for a
minute? The most sensitive areas of the body are the facial and groin areas.
God.
So any strokes, such as the upper swing between the legs, thus... or the downward thrust, thus, should be avoided. That's right, Mike, jolly good. Now, Mike has remembered that a crucial part of all this is the reaction of one's opponent, and some very realistic acting going on there from Mike. Excellent.
Oh, you cut me bloody ear off.
Back to the studio.
Radioactives. Results service.
Yes, indeed, we've come to the big moment of the results service, and we start with Aston Villa versus Manchester City.
Aston Villa 5, Manchester City 3. Villa winning by 5-3 then, but how well they realise now that had they scored 2 goals fewer this afternoon, they would have drawn this match. That's the harsh reality of football these days, where 5-2 makes 3, and 3 each means a draw. But let's not take it away from Villa. They got 5 goals in the back of the net, and that's good enough for a win when the other side only get 3. City had 2 chances to score late on, which would have meant a 5-all draw, and yet they could have missed the 3 they did get, which would have meant losing by an even greater margin, namely 5-0. But as it was, they didn't, and the scoreline remains Aston Villa 5, Manchester City 3.
Thanks very much, and for our next report on the match between Manchester United and Spurs, we go over to White Hart Lane.
Well, a very dull afternoon here at White Hart Lane. One consolation, there's been no crowd trouble, but the sad news is that there's been no crowd. Yes, the Man United-Spurs match being played this afternoon at Old Trafford, Manchester. So from White Hart Lane, Tottenham, it's back to the studio.
And finally, we go over to Notts Forest versus Liverpool.
Well, throughout this match, Souness in midfield for Liverpool has been like a rock, solid and determined, while Dalglish has been an absolute tiger up front, powerful, graceful, but always ready to strike unexpectedly. In the Forest defence, McGovern has been a tower of strength, tall, firm as granite, resisting every attack, while Shilton, stretching for everything, has been like a piece of elastic. Up front, Robertson has run like a terrier, four slightly stumpy legs and a little wet nose. Rush was for me a large green insect, while Thompson was a giant carrot in a top hat. I was on my feet shouting in the 53rd minute when the pitch turned into a tidal wave and washed away the East Stand, but the match really ended for me 10 minutes from time when I was taken out of the stadium by two men in white coats. This is Dermot McElvaney for Radioactive at Stanley Mental Hospital.
Welcome back. And a quick apology now from our traffic department for an incorrect announcement made during the last show due to a slight typing error. The message should have read that due to industrial action, there'll be no buses running tomorrow morning in the city centre, and not, as was announced, due to industrial action, there'll be no busy ranging to Maxgiff in Ducati Sintrad. Sorry about that.
We go over live now to the Theatre Royal.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second evening of the Royal Shakespeare Company's production of David Copperfield. Due to unforeseen circumstances, the part of Mr. Micawber will tonight be taken by Christopher Lillycrap and not, as stated in the programme, by Sir Ralph Richardson. The part of young Copperfield, which was to have been played by Christopher Lillycrap, will now be taken by Thomas Harpy. And the part of Mr. Dick, also to be played by Christopher Lillycrap, will be played by Harold Larson. The part of the young lunatic in the programme to be played by Harold Larson will be taken by Tamara Spriggs, whose roles as Frida, Agnes, second young lunatic, Miss Picknose, first nun, daft prostitute, and back end of pantomime cow will be taken by Jim Burke. Mr. Burke's part as dead man on battlefield will be taken by the late George Highbury, whose unexpected demise has caused tonight's changes. We are, however, pleased to announce that George Friend is much better than expected, so the part of second dead man on battlefield, which was to have been played by the late George Friend, will now be played by a couple of cushions and a bag of potatoes. Mr. Highbury's performance in the role of Monsieur Puttycock will be played by Carl Froggett, who is down in the programme to play the role of Tiny Toby. The role of Tiny Toby will be played by Spot. The role of Rover, which was to have been played by Spot, will be played instead by Shep. Shep's original role as rabid dog in company of second daft prostitute will tonight be omitted from the performance and replaced by the pre-recorded sound of a dog barking. The part of small Jewish man by the roadside on the approach to Broadstairs will be played by a small Jewish man we found by the roadside on the approach to Broadstairs when we were last there. The guitar will be played by Eric Clapton.
Radioactive! Well, there can be very few artists who have stayed the course from the 60s to the present day. Cliff Richard, The Who, The Stones, perhaps.
Paul McCartney. Genesis. Pink Floyd, The Beach Boys.
Well, quite a few, in fact. And among them are the popular American duo, recently reformed, Hyman and Carbuncle.
I met my old partner on Fifth Avenue, and when I asked him how he was, he said the pits. He'd been reduced to selling on street corners the 49th edition of our greatest hits. So we ate ourselves some bagels, chewed over our careers, but things hadn't changed, no. nothing at all to do with this song. Our lawyers held a meeting out on Brooklyn Bridge, and they agreed that we could go back out on tour. And though the shows themselves were only average, and the songs we premiered were frankly poor, still we made ourselves a million, and we paid off our arrears. Still greedy after all these years. After all these years, there must be 50 ways to make a million, and we know every goddamn one.
Welcome back. Now on Radioactive, it's time for our weekly Playhouse presentation. This week, an extract from Return to Slovenly Manor, an Edwardian drawing room drama, in which Sir John Pin plays Gerald, Sir Gerald Pin plays John, and Radioactive Studio 4 plays the drawing room.
Gerald, come hither, my son. I wish to speak with you.
What is it, Father?
It concerns your Aunt Alice, son.
I didn't know I had an Aunt Alison, Father.
Your Aunt Alice, boy.
Oh, how is Aunt Alice, Father?
Aunt Alice's father is dead. He died several years ago. I thought you knew that.
Yes, Father, but how is Aunt Alice?
The news is that she is not so well.
Not so well as her father?
No, boy, she is in better health than her father.
Oh, joy, what gladsome news.
No, boy, the news is... The news is not so gladsome, for she is not so well.
Ah, not so well.
Indeed.
Then what ails her father?
Her father is dead. I have just said this.
No, what ails Aunt Alice's father?
It is said she has an illness.
How so?
How so?
How so this illness?
How so this illness? What are you talking about?
This illness, what is it?
Why, it is when the body suffers from a disease of some sort. Men call it illness.
But what is this illness that ails Aunt Alice's father?
The illness that ails Aunt Alice's father is death, as I've already said.
And Aunt Alice?
The illness which Aunt Alice has is unknown.
Ah, then I must leave you, Father.
But what about Aunt Gladys?
What?
Your Aunt Gladys, too, is ill.
And what is the matter with Aunt Gladys, Father?
Nothing, he's very well.
Oh, shut up.
Radioactive. The time is... Fair whizzing by here on Radioactive. So without further ado, let's welcome our two contestants for this week's Master Quiz. And they are Dr. John Milestone, a lecturer in Hegelian philosophy at Glasgow Polytechnic, and Mr. Douglas Thanet, headmaster of Marlborough Public School and expert ornithologist. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And the first question goes to you, Doctor, and your choice of categories are history or modern music.
History, please.
Wise choice, I think. In what year did Kate Bush release her first single?
Who?
Kate Bush. Her first single. I'll have to hurry you.
No idea.
No, 1978 was the answer. Surprised you didn't get that one. Very big hit for her. Mr. Thanet, your categories are geography or modern music?
Geography.
Very well. What famous European city, well known for its manufacture and export of jute and chemical fertilizer, occurs in the title of an early Beatles album?
What?
Early Beatles album. European city?
Paris?
No, very close. It was, in fact, Hamburg, live at Hamburg. You were doubtless confusing it with Supertramp, live in Paris. Doctor, back to you. Astrophysics or modern music?
Astrophysics?
The new Soviet DN-51 fighter aircraft is able to fly at over 1,800 miles per hour due to a new form of propulsion.
Yes.
Who was the last British pop singer to tour Russia? The last British singer to tour the Soviet Union? No? Well, it was, of course, Elton John.
No.
Never mind. No points to you. Well, the score is currently level, so it's neck and neck, still anyone's game. And, of course, time for the tiebreaker question. First one to answer correctly gets it, and the category chosen randomly by our computer is modern music. Which celebrated British pop group did the late Keith Moon play for?
Who?
Is the right answer. Over the years, Radioactive has done its bit for underprivileged kids by organising adventure holidays. Many of you, I'm sure, heard about last year's recreation of the Voyage of Magellan, when we got 50 children out of foster homes, took their clothes away, dressed them up as 16th century Portuguese sailors, and sent them off on their own round the world. Great fun. Well, our intrepid Mike Hunt arranged this year's adventure holiday, and Mike Flex talked to him earlier this week.
Mike, I gather this year's holiday is pretty exciting.
Yes, Mike. This year we've given 25 deprived East End kids the opportunity to recreate the journey of a famous explorer.
Marvellous.
And we've called it Operation Scott.
After
Captain Scott, the Antarctic explorer, whose journey they are recreating.
Uh-huh. And they're following it pretty faithfully, are they, Mike?
Yes, Mike, following it faithfully right through to the end. And it really is a marvellous break for these deprived kids, many of whom didn't even have a pair of shoes to their name when we left.
Hmm. And they're on their way now, are they?
Yes, Mike, and it really was a very impressive sight, I can tell you. 25 barefooted East End kids setting out across the Antarctic wastes.
I'm sure. Well, what did they take with them?
Well, several of them were carrying buckets and spades.
Buckets and spades?
Yes, well, we kept our exact destination a secret, you see, and I think a few of them thought we were going to Margate.
Did they have anything else with them? Tents, sledges?
Yes, they each had a packet of sandwiches, provided free by the station, incidentally.
Smashing.
And all of them were wearing Radioactive T-shirts.
And they were free as well, were they, Mike?
Absolutely free, yes. And, you know, it's the first time many of these kids have been abroad, and for some, who knows, it may well turn out to be the last. What an emotional farewell it was. I remember one kid just wouldn't let go of my overcoat.
Well, I expect he wanted to wear it, Mike.
Yes, well, I dare say he did.
Well, Mike, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I have just heard that this is, in fact, going to be the last Radioactive adventure holiday.
Oh, dear. Any idea why, Mike?
Something to do with the International Court of Human Rights, I believe, Mike.
Finally, a look at one of the happier stories of the day.
Win Wan, the female panda, arrived all the way from China to be mated with our very own Wang Wang. The two were introduced as crowds of laughing schoolchildren applauded.
As Wang Wang broke out of the cage and killed 10 of them before being destroyed.
So that's it from us.
Join us next week at the slightly later time of 4 o'clock in the morning.
And there you have it, edited highlights from the BBC radio series Radioactive, featuring Helen Atkinson Wood, Angus Deaton, Jeffrey Perkins, Philip Pope, and Michael Fenton Stevens. BBC radio series that from a BBC record of 1983. Next week and the week after, for two shows, we're going to be listening to highlights of the current crop of comedy stars, such people as Sam Kinison and Judy Tenuta and Emo Phillips and Stephen Wright, and you know who they are. And that's who we'll be listening to. And those that we won't include will only be because, for instance, Roseanne Barr and Eddie Anderson and some of those people don't have albums out. And their people didn't send me tapes. So I can't include them. But I'll be doing the best I can with what I have available to me. That phone number again for the Save the Max Headroom show hotline is area code 818-377-5000. Give them some help. You know, at least write a letter. Help them out. And that's about it. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you, as ever, for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you might need it. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye, and happy birthday, Max.